And we'll link you to Scott's op-ed about resigning at hereandnow.org. This month, the head of the Department of Veterans Affairs backed off the department's 7-year-old target of getting to zero homeless vets across America. Secretary David Shulkin told the Military Times he's instead focused on cutting the current number of homeless vets down from about 40,000 to below 15,000. Nearly all facilities for homeless vets are co-ed. They house males and females together. But women, who make up nearly 15% of the U.S. Armed Forces, are the fastest growing demographic among homeless vets. And housing them with male homeless vets can be counterproductive for women recovering from trauma. Reporter Rebecca Shear introduces us to one of the nation's few programs that caters exclusively to the needs of female vets.
The federal government estimates that on any given night, 3,000 to 4,000 female veterans are homeless. But that estimate's probably on the low side, says Sarah Skoko, who directs the women's program of the nonprofit group Soldier On.
When people are doing homeless counts, they're going to shelters. They're seeing people on the street. A female veteran is not the person you see on the street holding a sign.
She might be a single mom. She may have experienced sexual trauma. So, says Skoko, these women are holing up in their cars. They're couch surfing. As a result,
the issue of female veteran homelessness is so underlooked, understudied. It's not understood because it's not in your face all the time.
So Soldier On decided to do its part by building a transitional housing facility just for women.
So welcome to the women's program.
In this bright and airy three-story building on the VA campus in Leeds, Massachusetts, the program houses 16 women and caters to their needs with things like art and yoga classes, support groups, and job counseling.
A lot of women that come to us have really lost everything. They've lost all sense of hope. And so all of what we do is build them back up.
Skoko says all the residents suffered some sort of trauma before, during, or after they served. 61-year-old Luann Hazelwood, who was in the Army in the 1970s and 80s, says her verbal, physical, and sexual trauma started early in life.
I more or less wanted to join the military as a way of escape.
But she experienced more trauma in the military, after she got out, too. When she first came to the women's program, she was fleeing her second abusive marriage and was so traumatized she didn't speak. Being only around women made her feel safer.
I can't say I've ever really had a positive relationship with a man. And, you know, I have yet to totally trust being around a man. So for me, it was a way of recouping from all the abuse that I went through.
There's that commonality that each one of us faced some sort of adversity when we went into the military. You see that support and everything because some people really had to walk it alone.
33-year-old Paige Policastro is another resident of the program. She's a former Air Force technician and had struggled with depression and self-esteem issues long before she enlisted. Policastro thought being in the military might help.
I was thinking I was going to get some sort of approval and pat on the back.
Instead, she got verbally harassed.
You know, you're called a whore, fat.
And fell into a culture of drinking.
You party a lot. That's what happens. You work hard, you play hard.
And Policastro played especially hard.
I remember going through Walmart after work one day. This is when I was drinking, and I wanted to crawl under a rock and, like, die. Because a lady stopped with her daughter and pointed to me and said, "See, honey, that's a hero. Like, I'm supposed to be here protecting you. If I can't even help myself, what the hell am I doing?"
She confided in a therapist and says he threatened to have her thrown out. In the end, Policastro was allowed to resign with an honorable discharge. After rotating through several co-ed detox programs for veterans, she found the women's program.
Were you still drinking at that point?
Mm-hmm. I stopped, I think, like, the day or day before that I came in here. And I haven't had a drink since.
By 2020, the number of female veterans is expected to reach 2.2 million. So there's an intense need for more gender-specific services, says Director Sarah Skoko.
There are women that have served the hell out of our country, and they're not being recognized, and they need to be. They need to be treated, not the same way as males, but they need to be treated, period.
But demand for women-only services vastly exceeds supply. For these 16 rooms in Massachusetts, the women's program often has a waiting list and has received referrals and applications from as far away as Hawaii. For Here and Now, I'm Rebecca Shear.
And Rebecca's story comes to us from the New England News Collaborative.